Tony Retta, Tectonic Metals, how you doing?
I'm great. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing good. Good to have you on. 2024 Rules Symposium. How's the energy going so far and the turnout so far, you think?
Well, great on all fronts. It's, this conference continues to be a premier conference. And, Rick has done a great job vetting companies and putting like high quality product in front of his network. And so the vibe is always good. And plus it's in Florida.
Yeah,
so that helps too.
Yeah, it's a great venue. One of the biggest questions that I get, and one of the questions I have, is really why are the equity prices, if you would, they seem detached from where the metals are at or where the commodities are at. What's your opinion on that? And it seems like there's quite a bit of opportunity there, possibly.
Yeah. So I think first and foremost, I think most investors are trend followers. The true contrarians are few and far between, and money follows money. So wherever money's being made, that's where it goes. And guess what? There's not a whole lot of money being made in mining right now. Now that has changed. We've seen it in the past, but the index, the S&P in particular, and seems to drive a lot of attention. But why I think this is a great opportunity right now is that I'm a value investor, and I think if you're trying to find value right now in equities, where are you going to find it? The S&P might not be it if your driver's value. Now, if you're that trend follower, sure, maybe. But for value propositions, you have all-time commodity prices. There's a great foundation that's been set that I think is going to drive the next leg here. And exploration and mining is definitely a place you want to look to if you're looking for value. And the trajectory looks, to me, seems very positive. Case in point, you have consolidation amongst all the major mining companies. Newmont's producing roughly 6.9 million ounces of gold annually. That's fantastic. They're going to take advantage of that production profile with the current gold price, and put out great quarters, get cash flowing. People are going to recognize that. And then they're going to start deploying some capital to make acquisitions. And so I think the backdrop's pretty phenomenal. The key thing that we have to remember is that although they've consolidated amongst themselves and now producing 6.9 million ounces, that's annual production. They don't have to replace that.
Right.
And where are they going to go next?
Right.
They're going to go down the food chain and start looking at exploration companies.
Right. So let's talk about the projects that you have here, and let's talk about the company here. Give us like a 30,000-foot view. What's separating you guys?
Yeah, so, we have, I'll speak to one specific project. We have several, but, our approach to exploration is really about asking those hard questions up front. So I use the analogy, if you're going on your first ever date with a lady and you're asking yourself, could this be potentially a wifey material? And if you ask that question up front, you can filter through a lot of riffraff.
Yeah.
We do the same approach with our projects, asking the question, can this become a mine? And when you say that, not from a geological perspective, from a geological perspective, but also from a mining perspective, a permitting perspective, from a financing perspective, is this a project that a major mining company might want? And the thing with these projects, it's like putting a ring on your finger. Like, you're married to them. And also, my reputation's at stake.
Yeah.
So the pedigree of our team is predicated on the projects we generate and the projects we work on. So we have this asset that's been sitting dormant for 20 plus years. It belonged to one of Alaska's largest native corporations. Mm-hmm. They have 12.5 million acres of land. If you have a relationship with them, you have access to these opportunities. The general public doesn't necessarily know about these opportunities.
Right.
Case in point, I was looking for another Donlin, fifth largest gold deposit, undeveloped gold deposit in the world. 40 million ounces of gold in a mineral belt in Alaska that everyone's completely forgotten.
Yeah.
I knew this native corporation had land in the district or in the belt. I called up their VP, who's not a geologist and jack of all trades, and I said, what do you have in this belt? And he said, his exact words were, I have this project that Robert Friedland with Fairbanks Gold worked on back in the 80s. I'm like, he's like, do you know who Robert is by any chance? And I said, yes, I actually know exactly who he is. I've never had the pleasure of meeting him, but I know who he is. And I know his reputation. And I know Fairbanks Gold, because Fairbanks Gold advanced the Fort Knox mine from discovery into production. It's one of Kinross's best assets, producing mine, 9 millionth ounce poured late last year. And so I mentioned that story because it really highlights the opportunities that are available to someone that has a bit of curiosity and has a relationship with the native corporations. If this asset was out in the public domain, it would be long gone. So we now have an asset that has 74 drill holes into it. Every hole has hit gold, 1.8 kilometers of drilled strike down to 300 meters vertical. And we've only done 1 year of drilling. There was historical drilling as well, which comprises the 74. But it's completely wide open, and it's also in a very favorable jurisdiction on native land. Guess what? The natives are now our shareholders in our company. They've invested their own capital into our company. And there's no greater endorsement from anyone, whether it's Andrew, Tony, or you know Rick Rule, that says, here's my capital. Go explore my land.
Yeah. My question to that is, how has it been working with the native corporations? Mm-hmm. I say that being from originally from Alaska.
Okay.
And they have, as rightfully so, they have a lot of great property in Alaska, yeah, if you would, for mining as well as drilling.
Yep.
And they can be a huge asset. How have they been that with you specifically?
They're not all created equally. But the one we've partnered up with is very pro-mining, pro-business. In fact, their most well-known resource deal is with ConocoPhillips,
yep,
very, very well-known oil and gas company.
Right.
And they funded themselves, the Native Corporation, $175 million oil and gas rig called the Beast. You can Google it. And they now, Conoco now uses their drill to explore. So, you know, that to me really resonated when I was contemplating who do I want to partner up with. You know, the fact that they can cut a check that big, the fact that they're like, yes, we want you on our land, and we're actually going to fund exploration or tools to facilitate that, has been really beneficial. And whether we meet with a Barrick or the governor of Alaska or a small community, me and the Native Corporation are presenting a unified front to saying we are partnered up and we want to explore collaboratively and collectively on our land. So it's been truly phenomenal.
Yeah. Excellent. Let's talk about the share structure, yeah, if you would. One of the biggest questions I get and one of the biggest concerns I have, yeah, as a retail investor is, what is the company doing to protect me as a shareholder, yeah, as far as dilution is concerned? And if I invest my money, where's that going and what are you doing with it? Yeah. As well as how many shares outstanding do you have fully diluted? How many shares do you have?
So how do I protect my shareholders? Well, you know, what I've learned over my 20-year career is that I can do all the right things and still have not the best share price. I mean, right, as a publicly traded company, you're exposed to everything that's public. Wars, financial crises, things of that nature. So the question we ask ourselves, we being the board or the team, is like, do we explore this year? Do we raise capital? Do we incur dilution? Or do we go into turtle mode and sit idle? And it's a delicate balance because you are taking dilution, and dilution gets a bit of a bad rap. It's like saying, like, if I got a Ferrari and I want to drive it, I got to dilute myself and put gas in the tank. Otherwise, I'm not going to experience this beautiful Italian luxurious, I'm a Ferrari fan, you know, vehicle, right? So you, as a shareholder, you're paying me to go find shit. You're paying me to go find a mine, providing that you're investing in exploration. So I can't find a mine sitting on my hands. I have to raise capital. Unfortunately, the market hasn't really been supportive of exploration stories, and I think that will change. So we're traditionally raising capital at lower prices. The other flip side, just like we're at all-time gold record highs, we're also at all-time all-in sustaining cost highs. So that's the cost to produce an ounce of gold. We've seen the major mining companies, their costs just escalate. The same is true for exploration companies. So we're in a depressed valuation period. We're also in an inflationary period. So our dollar's not going as far. This is the conundrum we have to wrap our hands around with. And I think as a shareholder for protection, I would say, what are you going to do with that capital? Is it funding suits and ties and nice haircuts? Or are you putting it in the ground, i.e. drilling to create value and do something, you know, productive with that capital? And our approach is with every dollar we raise, we try to put 85 cents or 85% of that capital into the ground. And we've elected most years to, you know, raise the capital, take that dilution and put it to work. So for good or bad, that's been our approach. And thankfully, I mean, we have found gold in every drill hole last year. So we've executed. And, you know, are we at an all-time high with our share price? No. But you know, we are going to, again, put money to work and try to, you know, change things around here. So.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your background and really the team that you put together. Mm-hmm. Another thing that is probably the most important to me is just you bet on the horse, you bet on the team, if you would. So talk to me about that.
Yeah. So if you're going to tout yourself as an exploration company, hopefully you found some stuff.
Right.
You know, you found some ounces. And so putting together a company or an exploration team is not just geology. Like I mentioned earlier, geology is one aspect. The other aspect is, can you permit that mine? Can you finance it? Well, to permit, you need people that are experts in permitting. So our chair is actually an environmental biologist, a United Nations consultant, and also been involved in the permitting of 9 mines. She's a great example that the environment and mining can coexist and can work collaboratively together. So our team has permitting experience. We have, we've raised close to $2 billion collectively, the entire team. We've actually, we've produced 16 feasibility studies, permitted over 10 mines. Discovery-wise, our team collectively has found 35 million ounces of gold. Myself, my biggest discovery has been 5 million ounces. These are team, it's not just one person too that makes the discovery, so make that very clear. I was part of a team that found 5 million ounces. Our last success was Kaminak Gold Corporation. We took a project from grassroots, never drilled, to 5 million ounces, produced a feasibility study, ended up selling it to Goldcorp, now Newmont, for $520 million. So through that process, I was involved in raising $165 million. So we've done all the different aspects of what would make a great exploration company. And, you know, last but not least, I'm very humbled and fortunate to be surrounded by people that don't necessarily need to work. They're there because they want to be there. And I'll say our board of directors have repeatedly elected to not receive compensation. Their compensation is stock options. But from a monetary perspective, we don't want any director fees. We don't want, you know, any consulting fees, anything of that nature. That might change in time, but it humbles me to know that, because they're here because they want to be here. They believe in Tony, they believe in Tectonic, and they believe in our projects, and they want to be part of something exciting. What drives us the most is that we love what we do. You know, there's perks here and there, but, you know, we all love getting in the field. When you drill your first hole, I don't know if you've ever been exposed to that. Like, it's like Christmas morning. You can't wait to open up the presents. And then also on top of that, I love the communities. We love Mother Nature. We love being outdoors. You know, dealing with First Nations, you know, how can we work together? We fancy all that sort of stuff. So our team is, I think I'm definitely fortunate. We're punching above our weight class here. And, you know, I'm like, why are you working with me? You can be with, you know, one of our technical advisors, 72 years old, from Denver, Colorado. He's primarily worked with Pierre Lassonde, and now he's working with me. It's like I'm nowhere near that, but it's just fascinating that he's come out of retirement to work with us.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, Tony, if people want to learn more about the company, if people want to buy this stock, where do they go, and what's your ticker symbol, and where are you traded?
Yeah, no, the best way, most people say, when you want to learn about my company, well, go to our website. That's part one. Part two is reach out to us. What this conference offers, and what Rick Rule again has done a great job, you can actually meet the CEO, the founder, the people behind the company, the genesis. Where did this all start? And I think there's nothing better than investing in someone versus investing in a website page. I've cut checks based on ticker symbols or website pages, but the ones that I've always done well is where I actually know the people involved. So feel free to reach out to us directly. info@tectonicmetals.com, tony@tectonicmetals.com. Our website's www.tectonicmetals.com. And our ticker symbols, we are on the TSX Venture, TECT, and then also on the OTCQB under TETOF.
Excellent. So I'm going to put all of this in the show notes below on both the YouTube channel here, as well as on Apple Podcasts, as well as Spotify. I will also vouch for this. Tony's been very responsive, and his staff has been very responsive. I've met with them earlier today, and they are the kindest people, as well as very, very knowledgeable people. So I want to thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate that. Thank you for this opportunity. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on. Good to see you.
Likewise.
You bet.